Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
So thankful for that. And so we just thank God
for this opportunity. So we have been talking about a series, and I'm going to pray here in a minute. We have been talking about a series, how to watching what we say and watching our words and the power of our words, and you know, and how we sometimes we're called mouth is what's causing us to lose. It's not so much that, you know, we ain't cursed, it ain't all that. It's our mouth. It's what we're saying about our situations that are causing us not to move forward or causing us to not to receive the promises of God. Because sometimes even the Bible tells us when you pray, you know, pray that you believe what you're going to receive, and now you otherwise you're praying amiss. And so all you're doing is praying and then getting up and still having the same worry and still doubting and still fretting. Then you're not going to get what you need from God, because God wants you to have faith. The Bible says that faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and then it says the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then over in 11 and 6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So we got to remember that we have to be diligent in the things that God is doing and the things that he wants us to do. He is such a good God, and he is awesome. So I've been teaching this series. I'm trying to figure out how I got to do it, because my mouth run is cheap. I said, Lord, how am I going to teach something that I feel like I fail at it several times all the time? But anyway, he gave it to me to teach, and as I've been teaching it, I've been growing. And so, and I've been coming overcoming things, and so I've been more grateful, because, you know, one of the things that I think causes us to complain is because we have spiritual amnesia. We forget about the things that God has already done. If we just remember those things, then we wouldn't murmur and complain about anything. So we got to remember that. But I'm going to pray quickly. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We ask you, Lord, to bless this broadcast. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one that will listen in on the broadcast and even on Facebook Live. We ask you, Lord, to bless them, Lord, to receive your word. Let your word fall on good ground, God. We ask you to bless those that need this broadcast to hear. And, Lord, I know sometimes we're saying we want the lost to hear, but sometimes it's been a blessing to those of us that know God. So, Lord, we thank you today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so I'm just so thankful for that. But I'm going to do a little recap again, because I thought I was kind of done one some time ago, but that's been a while ago. And so I just kind of bring us up to speed on where we are in this teaching. So We started this teaching on with the heart, talking about the heart and we started talking about the heart and how that the Lord, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to be careful that our heart is in the right place, because if our heart is not even in the right place, then how do we even expect to speak the right thing about what we're doing? And that's the thing that we do so many times. The Bible said we got to understand that our speech reveals our character as well. It is that thing that when we talk about things, and it's coming from the heart, so that's coming out of where our character is. And so we got to be careful about those things as well. We got to understand that, you know, that we got to be careful what we speak. I say it all the time. You know, be careful about what you say about your children and about your home life and about your own life, because those things you're speaking, if you're speaking negative, then negative things are going to come. Whatever you're throwing out, whatever seed you're throwing out is what seed is being planted in the ground. So you got to think about it from that perspective. You can't keep speaking negative stuff and think something positive is going to grow up. You can't plant, like they say, I hear people say, okay, you can't plant corn and then think okra going to come up. It doesn't work like that. You have to plant. If you want good things to come up, you want the right thing to come up, then you got to throw out the right seed. And so you got to put the word of God on your situation and not keep allowing your flesh or your feelings to get in the situation. Because if we let flesh and feelings get in the situation, we'll never get anywhere, because, you know, our flesh, you know, it just gets in. We want to whine and complain and all that, but we cannot do that. So we got to understand, first of all, we got to deal with the heart of the matter. And so when I think about that, I thought about the Bible says that in Proverbs 21 and 23, it said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And so, of course, when we think about the heart, we're thinking about our soul as well. And within our soul lies our mind and our intellect and our emotions. And so we have to think about that. But Jesus, in Matthew, he told us about Matthew 12, the 12th chapter of Matthew, he said, O generous, starting at the 34th verse, He said, "O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So we got to remember those things. Out of our heart is where it's speaking. So we got to get our heart right. So we got to get our mind renewed so we can get our heart in the right place. And then we will be able to begin to speak better things out of our heart and out of our character and out of our desire, because we won't have all this stuff bottled in there. I'm going to talk about that, too, in a little bit, about how a lot of times we are speaking out of an emotional place. And that's the thing that's getting us in trouble. Yeah, we might have been hurt. Yeah, this might have happened to us. And yeah, we might have some legitimate. I tell people all the time, your pain is legitimate. But sometimes we have got to get to a place where we're not speaking from that emotional place, which is causing us to be and to speak the wrong thing and even to say the wrong things about people. So that's one of the things we talked about early on, was remembering where our heart is. I always remember David, as he cried, he said, "Lord," he wanted his heart to be right with God. And that's one of my prayers, even as I pray, "Lord, let my heart be right with you." Because I said, because if my meditation, what is it, Psalms 119, where it talks about the 19th Psalm, where it talks about the, "Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we got to remember, God wants our heart to be right, because if our heart is right, then we'll begin to speak better things, and then our mind will be in the right place. And I always ask people on my broadcast if they have anything to say. Elder Dodson, is that you?
Amen, Sister Bryson. It's Randy and Phyllis Dodson.
Amen. It's Elder and Sister Dodson all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana. They helped me on this broadcast, and I hope you can hear them on Facebook. I put this closer so they can be able to hear it. But they always help me on the broadcast. And so we're recapping where we were so we can catch the Facebook up with where we were. And so then after that, we talked about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our next thing was we were talking about the creative power of our words. And so we have to understand how God, we're speaking spirits. And so when God created us, he created us in his image and in his likeness. And so when we think about when God created the heavens and the earth over in Genesis 1 and 1, when he talks about how he created things, it just said, "And God said." And when he kept saying, "And God said," and it was so. So if we're made in his image and in his likeness, and then we are a speaking spirit as God is, then we got to understand what we say is important. What we say can be detrimental or it can bring life. The Bible says over in Proverbs 18, he says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue." So you gotta understand that we just can't say anything. We can't keep saying the first thing that comes to our mind, and we can't say, "I'm gonna get somebody told." We can't keep doing all that, because our words do have power, and we have to make sure that we understand not to keep doing the same things over and over and over, causing us to lose. Our mouth is what's causing us to lose. It's not so much of everybody else is doing something to us, but what is our mouth saying, and how is that causing us not to reap the benefits and the promises that God has for our life? Elder Sister Dodson, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, this is such a good subject that you're saying. We have to realize that when we open our mouth, we speak character, intellect, and intention. What do I mean by that? You speak character, you speak intellect, and you speak intention, because they're looking at your words, and what they will do is, when they hear your words, they'll already figure out who you are.
Yes. That's the other. On the broadcast.
If anything, we want people to see who we are in Christ. So the first thing coming out of your mind should be something you would say that people would look at you and say, "Oh," just like in the scripture, they said, "We know these are unlearned men," speaking of the disciples, "but we take note of one thing." They said that they have been with Christ.
Yes.
And that, and you know, it was because when they spoke the things that they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
So a question we should ask ourselves is, what are we learning? Amen?
Amen. Amen. That was Elder Dotson. I hope you all can hear him on Facebook Live. I hope you all can hear what he was saying. And so we got to understand the next, and the second part that we went through, we began to talk about the strength of the word, and that was our kind of our topic. And then we said the power of words is how the world began. So if God spoke and what he said manifested in the natural realm. So if he did that and he made us a speaking spirit, because you have to understand the animals have sound, but they don't speak. They have sound, but they don't speak. So we're the only speaking spirit that he created. And so he gave us that power and that authority as well. So we have to be careful about the things we say. Because when God said, and let there be, it came to pass. It wasn't no, the sun didn't say, well, I don't want to shine. The moon didn't say, I don't want to be in night. Can I come to the day? When he spoke those things out, they just were. And so we got to think about that. When we think about that, as you begin to speak the rest of the day or even tomorrow, begin to think about those things. These are conscious things that we have to really begin to put in our conscience to say, oh, I'm not going to say that. I will not speak that over my life. I tell people all the time, what the doctor said may be fact. It may be a fact. Maybe that is what's happening. But that don't mean that's the truth. The truth says God's word is truth, and so his truth says by his stripes you're healed. And so those are things you got to understand that you have to say, yeah, that might be a fact. It might be what's going on, but that is not the truth. It's just like when somebody begins to suffer financially. Maybe you are having a drought in your finances, but the one thing you know is that your Father is in heaven is rich. And what was the songwriter said, let the rich, let the weak, the poor say, I am rich. So we got to speak those things that are not as though they were, just like Abraham did. He began to speak those things that are not as though they were. So stop saying you're broke and you don't have no money. Start saying, Lord, I am rich. Start saying, I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am I'm happy, and I have money. Money is coming to me. They used to say that, one of the preachers used to say that, money coming to me. You got to begin to speak different so you'll have different. And then the first thing is to be obedient. Always do that. So the Bible says to bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse that they may be meet in his house. So we got to understand our tithing is important, our giving is important, our stewardship is important. So we want God to bless us, but we got to have these mechanisms in place as well. We have to have those things lined up with the word of God, and then we begin to see the manifestation of the promises of God because of what we're our obedience, what we're saying about our situation, all of these things are happening. So we got to remember that. Always remember that obedience is key when it comes to God. Obeying his principles are key. God is a God, a respecter of principles. And so if you are doing that, then you are going to begin to see the manifestation or the reaping of what you're saying. So you can't say, like I was telling them, we can't keep saying, I say sometimes I'm teaching, doing some substitute teaching and trying to get my teaching certification. So I'm teaching sixth graders. And so I always say, ooh, child, they bad. But I told myself I wasn't going to keep saying that about them kids. And so it might be a fact, but I'm going to speak what the truth has to say about it, what God's word has to say about it. They are good kids. They are smart kids. They know who God is. They know who they are. I'm going to speak all that over their life instead of keep saying how bad they are. So anyway, we got to change the direction of our words so that they things can begin to make the changes that we need in life. We cannot keep speaking bad things and thinking good things are going to happen. You know, I was telling somebody that you even have to be careful what you allow people to speak in your life. When people say to me, like, you know, when we were young, I was younger, and I would be talking to my mom about something. I said, oh, I was had a pain somewhere, and they go to calling out some disease. I used to rebuke it. I used to say, Satan, the Lord, rebuke it, because I wasn't going to let them say that over my life either. And so you got to be careful. I didn't rebuke them openly because that's my parents. But I would rebuke them in my silence. I'd say, Satan, the Lord, rebuke in the name of Jesus. I am not going to allow the enemy. I am not going to allow the enemy to put that on me. And so we got to begin to do that. So that's the thing we got to understand when we talk about the creative power of our words is really watching what we say. And we have to learn to speak God's language. When we are talking about things, we got to learn to speak God's language. You can't go through the storm and then speak about, oh, the storm is so bad. Oh, when is this going to be over? And believe me, I've been chief in this situation. I'm not telling you nothing. I haven't done or experienced on my own, and how God is starting to make changes in my life about these situations. I was murmuring and complaining because I've been going through some challenges, and I'm telling you, I was talking about, well, Lord, I don't understand why I got to go through this, because I'm saved. I'm doing your will. I'm doing what you told me to do. All of these things going on. But that didn't mean that God was trying to bring me to a different place. Once I finally got that, I really am careful about what I'm saying, and I try not to murmur and complain about anything going on. And I'm taking these experiences as God making me, as God taking me to the next level where he wants me to go. You can't begin to preach to people and teach people if you don't have no experience. Because otherwise, what are you going to tell them? If you ain't been through nothing yourself, I tell you about some of this stuff and how God's been working it out, not Denise, but how God has been working it out and what he's doing. I'm telling you, he's an awesome God. And the only thing we can be like, and I'm going to ask somebody else that got something to say, we can do it like the Israelites. Now, the Israelites saw so many miracles. They saw so much. They saw God do some miraculous things, all the plagues that he sent to Egypt. And the one thing that got God's attention was their cry. When they began to cry out to God about their affliction in Egypt, God heard them, and then he began to get everything in place and line things up. He already had Moses as a deliverer. That's why Moses was saved back when he was a child and wasn't killed, because they were killing the little baby boys back then. But Moses was spared, and he even came up in the house of Pharaoh. So he knew how Pharaoh could operate, but then he longed to be like his people. He longed to be with his people. And so even in that transition and all that Moses went through when he killed the man that killed the man and then tried to hide, and he had to flee from Pharaoh and had to go to over there with Jethro and his family, and he was over there, and then he had the experience with God. All of those things were a part of God bringing into place and putting into place the thing to deliver them because of the cry of the people. So sometimes when you're crying out to God, believe me, God hears those types of cries, because that was a cry that caused him to send the deliverer to Egypt. So don't be too proud to cry out to God. If you want to cry about something, if you want to cry out loud, cry to God about what's going on. Tell him all about the problem. Stop telling the problem, talking about the problem, but tell God about it. And then you'll begin to see the manifestation of some changes in your life. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to add? Well, I'll keep on talking. Y'all let me know. So anyway, we also begin to talk. Hey, Elder Randy Phillips, my cousin's on the line, and Ned Reed's on the line, all of you on the line. I'm so thankful. And Stephanie Lilly, praise the Lord, Stephanie. I'm so thankful for all those that joined in. Regina Brown, I saw her on there, and Howard McKissick. So thank God for all of you that are joining in. This is one of our second times being on Facebook Live. But anyway, we're going to go on with our lesson. I'm just trying to catch you up to where we are, because we're getting ready to start talking about taming the tongue. And so I just thought that I would bring all this other stuff back into it, because we've been talking about this for a while, and then we took a hiatus and been out for a while, so we're back on it. So anyway, you have to make sure that you are speaking God's language about his will, because when you're going through situations, the one thing you don't want to do is speak out of your flesh or out of your emotions. You want to put the word of God on it and keep putting the word of God on it until you see the manifestation of God's promises begin to take place in your situation. I don't care how long you got to say it. Just keep on saying what God has to say about it. If you say what he says, then believe me, God is an honor. He's going to honor his word. He said his word would not return unto him void. So if you're speaking God's word about what's going on in your life, you're going to begin to see the manifestation of his promises, because he is a respecter of his word. And he's not a respecter of person, but he does do what his word says. And so you got to think of it from that perspective and continue to find scriptures that are concentrated on what it is you're going through. If you're going through a financial difficulty, find the scriptures in the Bible that talks about finances and what you have to do to speak to those things. You'll begin to see a turnaround. If you need to be a better budget person, you need that, then ask God to help you. You can ask God to help you with anything. He'll help you. He said he's our very present help in the time of trouble. He said he's our help. He's out in, what is it, 121st Psalm, which says, I will lift mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So he's made it all. But if you need help in any area, ask God about it. Don't call Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, get their opinion about it, because their opinion can't help you. God can turn it around if you want him to, if you let him. He can be the one that'll do it. And I'm telling you, I don't care what sickness is in, I believe in divine healing. I really do, because I've had it done. Oh, I've been divinely healed. So I believe in it. I've seen God move something in my body right before the surgery and cause me not to have the surgery that they thought they were going to do, or cause them not to remove what they thought they were going to remove, because I felt God, I felt something happen. I wasn't really clear about what happened. But after the doctor came back in, he told me, he said, Ms. Bryson, we didn't even have to take out, you know, at that time I was like 30 years old, and he was talking about having a full hysterectomy and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, I went to God about it, because, you know, I had to go to him. And I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. You telling us not to fornicate. You telling us not to do this. And I'm doing exactly what your word is telling me. Do you mean to tell me I'm not going to have no children? And that was when I was 30. I was talking to God like that. And then I remember one of the church mothers, Mother Gwen, she prayed for me. And she prayed for me, and she said, Niece, what's wrong? And so I was telling her, and so she came back. She told me, come on back here. And we went back here and prayed. And that night, I was sitting there. I was good because surgery was the next morning. That night, I was sitting at home, and something began to move. And I thought, what in the world is going on now? That's what I said. I remember saying that. But then I didn't say nothing else. I just went on, and I remember being in the hospital, in the emergency room. I remember being in that emergency room, and all these people was in there. This is the first time I'd ever had any surgery, anything, so I didn't really know what to expect. But I saw all these people who were lined up like cattle. That's what I remember thinking. And I just began to pray while I was in that room for each and every person that was in there that needed, that was getting ready to have surgery. I remember getting ready to pray for them, just praying for them. And then I went to surgery myself, and when I came out, they told me that they did not have to remove anything, that what the because they had told me this thing, this tumor was big as a basketball. And so they had told me that, and they said, so, but however size it was, all they had to do was remove it out, and they didn't have to take out anything else. So I was just so grateful for God blessing me and that divine healing that came upon me as a result of prayer, and just, you know, just believing that God was going to bless me. And I talked to God about it. I just told him. I said, sometimes you just got to go to God. So, but you got to be respectful when you go to him. But I was just telling him how I felt about it, because he wants us to be truth in our inward parts. And so we have so many testimonies from everyone that could talk about some of the things that God has done. But it came as a result of you saying the right thing about your life. Do we have anybody else on the broadcast who would like to have anything to say?
Yes, ma'am, I'd like to say this. The trial of our faith worketh patience.
Yes.
And when you are tried, you have to realize this, that the Bible says, allow patience to have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You won't need anything, but you go that trial first, because it's going to bring that patience. And that patience is going to bring that tenacity and that structure and that character of, and I call it the structure and the character of obedience.
Yes.
I'm going to do this because God said so.
Yes.
And that obedience brings forth what God has for you and your life. Because the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And what?
Add no
sorrow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was Elder Dodson. He is on the radio broadcast. And so I'm hoping that you all could hear that on the Facebook Live. And so we have been just talking about, we've just been kind of recapping where we are. And we're going to begin to talk about, that was our third lesson, I think, when we were talking about just, you know, making sure that you line what you say up with the Word of God. speaking God's language. That's what you need to, that's what we all need to do, is learn to speak God's language. So then we will begin to see the blessing that God has for us as far as it relates to our life. And so you got to remember those things. The next thing I think we talked about was complaining. We talked about that complaining and how that, let's see what my topic actually was, how complain and be hindered. No, I said the tongue, complaining, murmuring, grumbling, how to win the battle over that, and complain and be hindered or praise and prosper. And so we got to remember that if we would turn our complaining and our murmuring and our grumbling into praise and then into worship, how much further along we would be. The Bible talks about in John 6, and I think it's, yeah, in John, let me go to Matthew 18, 20, 21 first. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. And then John 6 and 43, Jesus said this himself, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Classic Version. That other scripture was from the New King James Version. It says, so Jesus answered them, stop grumbling and saying things against me to one another. He even told people, he told them to stop grumbling about stuff. James 3 and 5, and then we're going to talk about, also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And then I'm going to read Deuteronomy 2 and 14, I mean not Deuteronomy, but Philippians 2 and 14. It says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding, and this is in King James Version, and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. We have got to stop the murmuring and complaining. And if I think about that, I think about how Israel had 14 complaints, I think, when they came out of Egypt, and how they just kept murmuring and complaining. Now, they had seen God do some miraculous stuff. They had seen God, they had seen their enemy defeated. They saw their enemy defeated. And God told me, he said, the enemy you see today, you'll see again no more. He had gave them all that. They had had the 10 plagues in Egypt, where they saw the Egyptians affected by the plagues, and then they sat there and didn't have no effect from it. They saw those things, and yet when they came out of Israel, they were still there. They longed for Egypt. And so then as they were going through the wilderness, they just kept murmuring and kept complaining about everything. And so that is some of the things, and that's the reason why they stayed in the wilderness, because of the murmuring and complaining. So if you want to know why you done stayed in something so long, check what you're saying. Check your thoughts about it. Check what you're thinking and all those things, because your murmuring and complaining may be the very thing that is causing you to lose, causing you to stay in that situation. And you keep talking about God, why God, why God? Well, what else are you saying? What else are you saying? If God gives you, you say, Lord, I need some money, and $15 show up, but you really wanted more money, are you grateful for the $15? And that's the truth. If they're telling you something, the doctor's report is telling you something, the doctor told you, well, you know, your heart is something, you need to lose some weight, you go in there and you done tried all week and you just got 2 pounds, or you like, well, I ain't doing this no more because that wasn't my 2 pounds on. I should, maybe you should be thankful for the 2 pounds. Thankful for the roof over your head. Thankful for the car drive. Maybe you don't have a Mercedes. Maybe you got a Honda Civic. Be thankful for the Honda Civic. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to have transportation, especially if you live in a place like here in this Texas where things are so spread out. You got to have transportation. So you got to be thankful for the things that God is doing in your life and not so busy tore up about everything and complaining. They complained so much, they complained themselves out of reaching the promised land. They complained until that generation died and the next generation was ready to go over into the promised land. Even Moses himself, because of his anger toward them, because they got on his nerves so bad, that's really what happened. And so he smote the rock instead of speaking to it like God said, and it cost him something. But he didn't murmur and complain about it. He just kept on going, and he was thankful that he got to see the promised land, even though he didn't get to cross over. He might have been hurt about not crossing over, but he did get to see it, so he was thankful for that. We have got to be thankful for things that God is doing. Maybe it don't look like what you think or what you've asked for or what you want to do. Maybe it don't. Maybe you asked God for a six-figure income and you got $50,000, but you didn't have no job. Be grateful for the $50,000, because that don't mean that the $100,000 is not on the way. But you got to show God thankfulness. The Bible tells us in everything give thanks. But it is the will of God through Christ Jesus concerning you. We have got to be thankful. We can't keep not being thankful. Maybe you don't have a new pair of shoes. Maybe the child, but they got some shoes on their feet. Be thankful for it, because the more thankful we are, the more the Lord will bless us. And that's the thing we are trying to read. We're trying to tell you, watch what it is you're saying. You have creative power in your words. Stop creating the wrong thing. Stop creating negativity. And stop calling them children all kind of names and talking about you ain't going to never be nothing. You're just stupid. If your child is challenged, and some of them are, start speaking something positive over their lives. It isn't cute to be negative about it, because what you're speaking to them, that's what they're internalizing. And so you need to begin to change what you're saying about it so that you can begin to see a change in them. Do you want to see a change in them? Then change what you're saying about them. That's what you got to do. You got to change those things. Stop allowing the enemy to get you so frustrated and angered that you begin to speak out of your emotions and say things that are not what God would have you to say. Stop murmuring and complaining about things. Turn your murmuring into praise. When the enemy starts giving you them thoughts to murmur, because he's going to give them to you, that's his job. But when he starts doing that, you turn it into a praise. And you let the devil know, I'm not going to say that. But I will praise the name of the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. If you can't do nothing, say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just say that. And understand that that will begin to change your thought process about what you're going through. You won't keep saying the wrong things. And I'm telling you, it's easier said than done. Some of us have been doing this stuff a long time. We got to understand that. If some of it is rooted in ground, we need God to root it up out of us so that we can make the changes in our mind, in our heart, and in our speech. And so, because the Bible tells us that the tongue no man can tame, but by the Holy Ghost it can be tamed. By the Holy Ghost we can begin to change what we are saying about our situations and about our families and things like that. Does anybody have anything else they want to say? Anything they want to say on the broadcast? Okay, we're going to keep on going. So anyway, the next thing we talked about those complaints of Israel and how to kind of overcome complaining. Change, like I said, stop complaining, start praising God, get into worship. Get into a place of worship so you can bring the presence of God into your life. Because when you begin to worship, then his presence can come. And one thing, like David used to say, he wanted to be in the presence of God. That was one of the things he wanted, because in the presence of God is where changes can be made. That's where changes can come forth. So become a worshiper. Ask God, say, Lord, bless me to be a worshiper. If you don't know how to worship, and stop showing up to church late so you won't be a part of the praise and worship. Start getting there on time so you can be a part of praise and worship. Coming in, I'm just going to get here to hear the pastor preach. Well, you missed the important part, because worship, that time for us to speak something good out, is a time where we can really get a hold, we can really get in the presence of God and begin to see changes in our life. That's what you got to remember. Change your murmuring and your grumbling and your, I'm losing my voice, but anyway, change your murmuring and your grumbling and your complaining into times of praise, into times of thankfulness, into times of worship, because that's what it's going to take for us to get over, and especially in this time that we're living in right now where everything is just, we don't know from day to day what they're going to do. We just got to keep prayer and keep this country in prayer, keep our leadership in prayer, because we're not sure. Last time they're not telling the truth. So, you know, well, we got to tell the truth, and we got to let the Lord do, you know, let the Lord do things in our lives. We have to. We have got to begin to speak the right things and begin to understand we have a creative power that God has given us. So we talked about that murmuring and complaining. That was the next thing we talked about. And then after that, we went into, I believe our next lesson was we were talking about speaking out of our emotions. So here it go right here. So, you know, a lot of times we get emotional. I remember being a ministering somewhere, and I was telling a young lady about forgiveness, and I was telling the people about how that, you know, we got to begin to forgive. Maybe, you know, maybe it was something horrific that was done to you. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you've been raped. you know, male or female. We can't say that the men ain't had, it ain't happening to them now, because it is. Maybe, you know, your father wasn't around, or your mother wasn't around, or they were addicts, or whatever the case can be, or whatever happened, or they died early. My father died when I was 12. So, you know, you might have whatever you had, you know, to go on. You got to understand that, yes, some horrific things have happened. People have done some things to you. Maybe your siblings did something that, you know, to you when you were younger and caused you some difficulty. Maybe you've had series of rejection. Maybe that ex-husband or that ex-wife did something to you, or a boss or somebody. You have got to have a forgiving spirit. You have got to forgive people. Because if you really want to change the stuff to come out of your mouth to change, one of the things you need to do is start forgiving people. Because a lot of times we are saying things out of emotion. We are saying things because we're bitter about something, or we, you know, we just don't know, or you know, somebody, like I said, somebody's done something to us, and so we are doing, you know, we're just saying too much. We say too much. You know, like say somebody has done something to us, and they, a spouse, and then we divorce them, and we get married to somebody else, and then we see them going on doing something good. Sometimes we almost want something bad to happen to them. And, you know, when something bad happens to them, we be like, that happened because, yeah, because of what they done to me. No, no. God ain't punishing people just because somebody done something to you. You know, we all got to give an account for the things we do in the flesh. So be mindful of that when you say those kind of things, because everybody got to give an account. It just ain't the person that done something to you. So we got to be thankful for when God's mercy, and I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for his mercy. So we got, that's something we can be thankful for right there, his mercy. On a daily basis, we ought to get up and say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Because if it had not been for the mercy of God, oh, my God, we would have been consumed, and that's the truth of the matter. And so what I'm saying is that forgiveness has to begin to take place if you want to stop speaking out of an emotional place. Because, in this, and I'm going back to this young lady, she told me, she said, I said, well, you have to forgive. She said, I can't forgive them. They molested me for 13 years. And I get what she was saying. And she said, if I say I forgive them, I told her, I said, well, just begin to say it. Maybe it ain't manifested yet in your heart, but keep speaking it. She said, well, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it pissed off. I said, I don't care how you say it. As long as you keep saying it, I believe that God will manifest forgiveness in your heart, and then you will begin to move on to a better place in your life. Because if we don't do that, then how we want God to forgive us if we won't forgive him, to forgive other people, and even ourselves? And so the reason why we speak out of these emotional places is because a lot of that is rooted in unforgiveness. So, you know, we're bitter, we're angry, you know, it's just, it's a bunch of them, because I got a whole bunch of them listed over here. We speak doubt, we speak, we're impetuous, we got divisive tongues, we're argumentative with people, we're speaking out of places of low self-esteem, even about ourselves. I heard a little girl say the other day, she said, I'm just ugly. I said, don't you say that about yourself, not another time. You are beautiful. You got to understand we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful. Don't let nobody else tell you you're ugly, and don't you tell yourself that no more. We got to learn to teach people how to speak better about themselves and stop talking down to people. You know, when we were coming up, you know, and they used to say to me all the time, because I was a plus-size girl, and so they used to tell me all the time, oh, you're a pretty big girl. You're a pretty big girl. They didn't mean no harm. But really, that wasn't really a good statement. Why couldn't I just be pretty? Why do I have to be a pretty big girl? Why does somebody have to be a pretty black girl? You know, because the skin is dark. All of these things we say, we think we're being positive, but in reality, it's a negative tone to it. So anyway, what I want to say about that is you got to stop speaking out of emotional place. And then my scripture reference for that is that I said, but the tongue no man can tame. This is what I was talking about. No, that's not my scripture. Let me say, no, I think I went back to death and life in the power of the tongue. So that was not my particular scripture for speaking out of emotional places. We cannot do that. Does anyone on the broadcast have anything they want to add?
Yes, I do. If we have time for a testimony, you were talking about forgiveness. I was teaching forgiveness to a young people's class, and there was a young lady there, and she was saying, well, I don't want to, I have something against my auntie, but I just can't face her to ask her, why did she do certain things to me that made me bitter? I said, look, if you can't face her, I said, write her. Write her a letter and let her know how you feel about what she said or what she did, and see if that letter does something. You know that she came to me and she said, my auntie got in touch with me and came to me and apologized and all of that. And when you were talking about saying things out of your emotion, she out of her emotion said that she just couldn't forgive her auntie and she couldn't see herself coming to that. And her auntie stated that, I didn't even know you felt that way. Why didn't you come to me? So that's why we don't need to say things out of our emotion. Or hold unforgiveness, because it may not be what the person meant. But we're so quick to move toward our emotional thinking rather than saying, well, maybe she didn't mean it that way. You know, take a minute and think about it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Does anyone else on the broadcast have anything they want to say? If not, we'll keep going. I thank God for all my elders on there. I think Elder Timberlake is on the line, and then Elder Poston's on the line. Of course, Elder and Sister Dobson are on the line, so I'm so thankful for them because they teach as well. And then we have a couple of others that teach with us, Elder Shirley Russell. I said Elder Shirley Birdsong because I remember I was sitting there thinking the other day about something she prayed and prayed over my life about being humble, and I've never forgot that prayer that she prayed. I mean, that's been years ago. I was in my 20s when she prayed that prayer for me, and I never forgot it. But anyway, so I talked about that, about speaking out of an emotional place. That is something that's going to bring us back to our current getting back on track when we're talking about these tongues. And so there are various tongues we're going to bring up and how to overcome that in the Word, how God has already set up places in the Word for you to be able to overcome that situation with something else. And because I was thinking about, and that's where we're at. And so that's where that kind of brings us back to up to date where we are, but making sure that you don't speak out of those emotional places, because that is a dangerous place to speak out of. Even when we're emotional, I remember I was here, and I'm telling you, when I say I've been going through a whole bunch, it's been a whole bunch, but I was here, and it's just been I had lost something, and something that has a lot of information on it, and I lost it, and I was like, God, why did I have to lose that? And I just was throwing a fit. I'm just being honest. You know, I don't mind telling myself. But anyway, I was in here throwing a fit. And when I say throwing a fit, I was in here throwing one about that situation, because it just had been so many things going on. And then that was just something that went on. And I was like, okay, does it have to be something every day? I mean, this is where I was. And so I was saying that, and I'm saying that. And then the enemy, here he comes, talking about, well, then just kill yourself. Just kill yourself. And I said, oh, I had to think about what just said. I said, oh, okay, devil, that's your plan. You trying to get me frustrated so that I can get myself in a mental state. But, you know, when you start doing something for the Lord, and if you think the enemy ain't going to attack you, believe me, you in the wrong place. So when you get all come up under those attacks, don't start murmuring and complaining. Start giving God the glory. I'm telling you, this is what I've learned to do, because this ain't where I've always been, I'm telling you. So I was surprised when he told me to teach this series, I'm telling you, because I'm telling you my mouth. But anyway, but the Lord is blessing me through this, and I have been able to gain some things. One of the elders on the line, Elder Rita Timberlake, she has caused me to begin to think every week about what God has done. Because, you know, I think sometimes when we're really, when saved and we've been in church a long time, we just kind of take things for granted, and we really don't think about some of the small things. Well, you know, because he says always despise not the days of small beginnings. But we don't think about some of those little things that happen that are good things as well. We just kind of go on over. But she is causing me to be able to think. She asked me every week, okay, what God do for you today? What do for you this week? And I've been having something good to tell her every week, and I've just been so excited about it because it's causing me not to think about what's still not in place, but it's causing me to see the steps that is being made that bring things into place. And so I've been thankful for that. I told her, I said the other day, I was, she said, last week she asked me, what did God do for you? And I was thinking real hard. And then it dawned on me, I got my paycheck. And so, you know, and my paycheck ain't nowhere near where it used to be. When I say that, believe me, I say nowhere near. But still, God caused me to be to think about what had happened. I was making a certain amount every day. And because I passed the 11-day mark, it went up another $5. So I was telling, I said, yeah. I said, I got a $5 increase on my own on every day. I said, and then I got some extra pay because I'm over at this school. And then I got some extra pay just because I show up on Mondays and Fridays. And all of that, I was just going over everything that was happening. And so I was just so excited about that because I was thinking, I never, you know, first I was like, Lord, I'm coming over here with all this drama for this little money. And then, but then I started thinking about it a different way because when you come into a place of purpose, and this is where I know where I am now, I'm in a place of purpose. No, it might not be nowhere near the money I was used to making. And when I say nowhere near, I mean nowhere near. But I'm telling you, I'm so excited about it. I'm excited to go over there, and I'm excited to be to help with these, help with the children, and be over there trying to teach these kids. And all the teachers know what I'm talking about. And if you ever have taken a teacher for granted, and you a parent, and you ain't thanked them teachers, you ought to thank them every day, because I'm telling you, they dealing with some stuff over there with these children, and they are being a blessing with your children. I'm telling you something else. They bringing paper. This is their money they're spending. They're spending money on paper, pencils, treats and all this different kind of stuff, poster board. So be thankful. Next time you see a teacher and you know they're a teacher, give them $2, give them $5, something, because they're going to buy some paper, some pencils with it, believe me, because the kids come to school with nothing. And they hungry. We buying food. And, you know, like I told you, I ain't nowhere near myself. But I got myself back. I got a bag of treats, cookies, candy. I got paper and pencils. So I'm just telling you, when you see a teacher next time, be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to them. That'll be a blessing to them, and you're going to bless some kids, and then God's going to bless you for giving. So then think about that and say a prayer for our children, the children in these schools and these teachers in these schools and administrators. Say a prayer. Speak. When you go past the school, just speak something positive over the school. Say, Lord, bless them today. You know, speak positive. Every child in there, you might not know no one of them in there. Every child in there is going to be a learner today. Every child is going to be blessed today. Just start doing that when you go past somebody and see God start turning some things around for these school systems. Do that. And I'm telling the Lord's going to bless. Now, my teachers on here talking about good word because they know what I'm talking about. And I mean, I don't even know as much as them because some of them been teaching 20, 15, and 30 years. And so I'm just coming into it and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I didn't know. And so I just want to be a blessing to them. I've really been praying for them like I do everybody else. But speak positive words. What's my time? Oh, I got 7 minutes. I got to come off here. And so because we only on here an hour. And so I'm going to close for now. We'll start talking about these tongues on next week. But Elder Dodson, will you offer our invitation to Christ and pray us out, please?
Father, for those who are at the place of making a decision, we pray that they will make this decision to make Christ their Lord and Savior. Oh God, we wish that they would pray this prayer. Lord, I'm ready to change my ways. I want you to be my leader and my guide. Oh Lord, I admit that I am a sinner, but I long to change my ways. Oh, Lord, will you take me in? Would you be my Lord and Savior? I believe that you came and you died for my sins and you were resurrected from the dead. Yes. Oh, God, and all power is in your hand. I know that you're able. And he is able to deliver you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you've prayed prayer, we believe that you are a candidate and you are ready for the Lord to do wonders in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we pray for each and every teacher of the Word of God. We pray for every teacher in the schools, God. We pray for every administrator. We pray for every principal. Oh, God, that you would speak to them. Let them know that you are with them. And, Lord, we pray for the bus drivers, too,
yes,
that you would bless them, oh God, to be the best at what they do,
yes,
and to be long-suffering. Hallelujah. Oh God, we bless you and we praise you and ask, dear Lord, that you touch everyone's heart, that you strengthen us and keep us, and keep that thirst for the word of God.
Mm.
As David said, oh God, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth our souls after thee, oh God.
Yes.
We will forever give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, let every heart say amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in on Facebook Live, all those on the broadcast, on the radio show that logged in, that called in, and even those that will listen to it long later. This has been the Prosperous Souls broadcast. Thank you so much. We will be back here this time on next week. And we usually go about an hour, and we try to get off here on time so we won't belabor. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to us. We to God be the glory for all that he has done, and we thank each and every one of you. We're just happy to have you on the broadcast with us. We're so glad that you tuned in. So anyway, we'll be back here on next week. God bless you. We're going to start talking about them tongues next week, them different tongues, and how that you can what word of God that you can use to try to stop doing that. It's going to take a conscious effort. It's nothing that you can just say, oh, overnight I'm going to stop doing it. But you're going to have to pray about it. You might have to fast about it. And you might have to just really think that, Lord, I'm going to stop speaking negative things, and I'm going to start speaking positive things in my situation so I can begin to see a turnaround. God bless you. May God keep you, and may his face shine upon you. Join us here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast and Facebook Live. God bless you.
Good night.
Night.